There is an ever-burning element, I call it, in the human soul that wants to begin again, to start over. I know I've missed the mark from time to time, and I can do better. I can follow our Lord better. I can love my Lord more. I'm not saying I'm going to hit the mark this time, but I want another shot at it. This desire pleases our Lord Jesus. It's a good attitude. It's the attitude of a disciple. And so as we begin Advent, as we begin a new liturgical year today, let me be the first to say to you, Happy New Year, as we begin again. Our gospel reading, as we begin Advent, is a somewhat stern teaching from Jesus. A warning, if you will. Jesus said to his disciples, be watchful, be alert. This is my favorite part of it. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Jesus is telling us that he will return. And we are to watch for it. We are waiting for our Lord to return. Some in the world dread that, but we look forward to the end of the world because we want our Lord to return. But we don't know when it's going to happen. So while we wait, we need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to watch. This gospel warns us against a lackadaisical faith. We cannot have a lackadaisical faith. That's why we begin again. So I'd like to leave you with the story of Charles Lindbergh. It's a story you know. In 1927, in May of that month, he was the first to fly solo, nonstop, from North America to continental Europe. His nickname was Slim. He didn't weigh that much, which would help him. He was also nicknamed Lucky Lindy. But there was far more to luck than with Lindbergh. He had a friend named Frank Samuels. Frank Samuels lived in San Diego. Lindbergh was first a stunt pilot, and then he started to fly mail in St. Louis. And he named his plane the Spirit of St. Louis, and it was being built in San Diego by the Ryan Aircraft Company. So Charles Lindbergh would go to San Diego to visit his friend, Frank Samuels, as he would oversee the building of his plane. There was a contest as to who could fly across the ocean first. So his plane was built in 60 days for $11,000. It had canvas wings to reduce the weight, so he could carry more fuel. Lindbergh estimated he would need 450 gallons of fuel. The last plane that took off from New York to attempt the transatlantic flight with that much fuel was never seen again. The plane would be designed to fly at an altitude of 200 feet. It didn't have a windshield. He navigated out the side windows. It didn't have a radio. didn't have a fuel gauge. You either made it or you didn't. So Lindbergh would go to San Diego to oversee the building of his aircraft, in which his life would rely. One night, Frank Samuels got up and he discovered that Lindbergh was not in his bed. And so he went to look for his friend. And it was past midnight when his bed was empty, around 2 or 3 in the morning. And he finally found Charles Lindbergh sitting in front of a window looking out to the sky. And Samuel said, "My goodness, what are you doing?" And Lindbergh said, "I'm practicing." "Practicing what?" And Charles Lindbergh said, "I'm practicing watching the sky. I'm practicing staying awake because I'll need to be alert." There he is right there. That's one gutsy gentleman. You see, Lindbergh had to practice staying awake for his successful flight. His flight took 33.5 hours. From the time he got up to prepare his plane in New York to the time the celebrations were done in Paris, he was awake for 55 hours. Our Lord in today's gospel told us we need to practice staying awake for our successful journey to Him. Our Lord wants us to practice watching, practice staying spiritually alert, so that we can complete our journey. We cannot stay physically awake all the time. All of us, even Lindbergh, eventually fell asleep, but we can stay spiritually awake through our life in the church. On Wednesday, Pope Francis spoke at his audience, and he said something interesting that I think reminds us how to practice. He said that he is dismayed by Catholic groups, parishes, whatever. He's dismayed by Catholic groups who try to improve themselves aside from the Eucharist, aside from prayer, and aside from unity with the universal church. He said he feels saddened. These groups have goodwill. They try and improve themselves through gatherings and meetings as if they're a political party, he said. The Pope said, aside from the Eucharist, aside from prayer, aside from unity with the church, he asked, "Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit?" So as we begin again, let's renew our faith and love in the Eucharist. What we do here is the primary way we practice for our successful journey to God. That's why we feel good when we walk out of Mass. Maybe not so good all the time when we get up and come, but we feel good when we're done. Maybe we can go to Mass daily during Advent. Maybe read or study about the Mass, learn about the Mass. The Eucharist is the center of our faith. And we must also pray outside of Mass. Maybe take up the Liturgy of the Hours or pray the Rosary. We have adoration beginning here at Corpus Christi on Tuesday. After my 12:10 Mass until 7 p.m., we will have the Holy Eucharist here. You can You can stop in and pray any time during that time. Pray. The prayer we do outside of Mass brings greater fruit when we come to Mass. And finally, let's practice by remembering that we are members of a worldwide church, the Catholic Church, founded by our Lord. This church gives us the sacraments. This church gives us each other. Maybe we can practice by reconciling a relationship, by renewing our charity, or by supporting so many ways that we support the parish here. And so, my dear people, we begin again. Let's start over. Our Lord loves that desire. Let's practice with our renewal of the Eucharist. Let's renew our prayer, and let's renew our love of the church. Amen.